Well, there's no question about Kelly Jordan's consistency. Year after year, it seems like he wins an event, and you just won the Potomac, Kelly.
Yeah, it was a fantastic win. A nail biter till the very end. I mean, I had an emotional roller coaster going through the final and came on top of the win. What can I say?
Well, you know, your buddy Skeet Reese was right there in that nail biting situation. Even though you won and you're happy about winning, you got to kind of feel for him as well.
Yeah, Skeet's a, you know, Lucky Craft team member with me. We, you know, we worked together on, you know, some stuff with Lucky Craft and see each other on the water lot. I have the, you know, utmost respect for him. He's obviously, he's one of the best fishermen in the world. He's always seemed like in the top five. I mean, he's Mr. Consistent on that deal, and it just hasn't got, he's only had one win, and that kills him, and he's made a lot more top fives than I have, and I have five wins, and I got another one out of him again by just a nail biter, and man, I tell you what, I'm tickled to death to win that, but man, I fell for Ski, because, you know, that's a big thing for your career to have, you know, a couple wins every time you can, so to get it that close, it was just, man, I hope he does it sooner or later when I'm not in the contention.
Well, you know, you look back at it, and the year 2000 and past, you know, up to 2006, you've had 1 year that you haven't won an event, and you start thinking back, last win, of course, in 2005 on Okeechobee, but a lot of similarities between those two events.
Yeah, Lake Okeechobee is grass fishing, and the Potomac River is a lot of grass fishing. There's other things you can do, but grass is a critical part of fishing the Potomac, especially now with the grass that have just come on. I'm from Texas. I fish grass beds at my home lake, Lake Fork, Sam Rayburn, and all those other ones. Very comfortable fishing grass. I love to fish. That's my favorite thing to fish if I could pick a kind of type of cover. And Lake Okeechobee, I've had just a string of great finishes there and was wondering if I'd ever win there, because I always wanted to, because it's one of my favorite lakes in the country, and finally pulled that win off in 2004. Flipping matted vegetation, which is my favorite way to catch bass, and then was able to do that again here at the Potomac River.
Well, you reflect back on it. I mean, the first few days you had different tides, and a tide so critical on the Potomac, but you were kind of sharing an area with Gerald Swindle. But the last day you said, hey, I'm going to move around and try to, you know, grind these out, and it worked out for you.
Yeah, it did. The tide was worse and worse for that area, at least the way I was fishing it every day. I caught big bass the first day there, first of the tournament, of 5-12, and I had another 4-pounder. I had my two biggest fish there the first day when I was in third place from that area. Second day, I caught a kind of a nice one in there, but only one that really helped me very much. The third day, I caught a 4-pounder in there that helped me a lot, but it was with 10 minutes to go, and the tide was just getting right, and it was going to be 50 minutes later, the final day of the tournament, and I just didn't have much stock in it at all. I didn't put much faith in it whatsoever that it'd be a winning spot, and I'm trying to win the tournament, so I figured I'd win flipping mats, and if I didn't get them all, the big ones I needed in the morning with my buzzbait pattern, which was awesome for big fish if I could just catch enough of them. So I just went to where there's a lot of mats at high tide, you know, fairly close to takeoff, and it worked out for me.
Well, you talk about high tide versus low tide, and you don't really have a mat sometimes at high tide because the grass is underwater.
Right, exactly. There's some areas that have, there's just so much grass, and there's mats at high tide and low tide. That's where I fished because we had a high tide almost all day, the final day of the tournament. Down south where I was fishing, my mat that just had a whole bunch of big fish in there, there was no mat there until it was almost three-quarter low tide. And then it got to be a big mat at low tide, but that's the only time it was matted up, and yeah, I tried. I couldn't catch them until there was an actual mat. I don't know if they finally pulled off of some of the shallow grass. It's a huge grass flat. I guess they may, at low tide, pull the outside edge and get on the very outside mat. But when they have a mat there, a mat lets you really pinpoint your location and helps you when you flip in a mat versus just grass that's everywhere. You have a much higher percentage of putting your bait in a fish's strike zone.
Well, let's talk about the one you threw back. That had to kill you, and you had to think, well, I lost this thing because I threw this fish back, but in reality it turned out okay. But let's talk about what went through your head there. What exactly did you think?
Okay, it was the third morning. It was my third keeper. I caught a 4-pounder my first cast the third morning on buzzbait. First cast. And that was pretty exciting. That got the fireworks starting pretty good that day. Then I catch another one around 3 pounds or so, maybe a little better. Then I catch this smaller one that was about 1.75 pounds and 1 pound 13 ounces. I weighed him. And then I caught another small keeper and had him in the well. And I was watching this fish because I had actually got it on a Senko backing up a buzzbait blow up, and it got hooked in the tongue. And when you hook them in the tongue, it's sketchy because there's a lot of nerves in the tongue, and sometimes they'll bleed a little bit. And I didn't know wanting to die because in bassmaster, you can't release a fish once it dies. Well, anyway, I looked back in Liveville, and it was just kind of looking kind of, figured it had a better chance of living, you know, in the lake anyway, or in the river, and it would have died in my possession, and I would have to keep that fish, and then I would net 1.5 pounds, so that'd be like 1.5 pound fish with a 4-ounce penalty. And I said to myself, I haven't had much trouble catching a limit. I caught 8 to 12 keepers the first day, 2 days. I'm going to try to win this tournament. I don't think you can win carrying a pound and a half in your bag. So it's I'm all in. And I let him go right then before he had a chance to actually die in my position. And then that's the call you make. And I would have taken that, made that call again, and it was the right call. It just it happened not to work out, you know. And I gave a illustration, kind of, it's kind of like kicking a two-pointer in a Super Bowl football game. You go by the formula, do the formula, you kick it, you make it, it's good. I mean, if I'd have caught a limit, it worked out great. If you don't make it, and then you lose by 1 point, the coach gets fired, and he did the right thing, you know. So that's kind of what went through my head, and it just really was wearing me out yesterday that might cost me the tournament. But at the same time, I wasn't that bitter about it because it was a call, and I told everybody, I said, I would have made the same call again, and I would have done it today as well. I mean, or the final day as well, if that had happened.
Well, KJ, I've known you a lot of years, and one of the things that I know about you, if you can see a fish, you can catch them. But, you're proven versatility. I mean, you know, you're flipping by, you're catching fish in other locations. You know, Santee, you had the fish you looked at. But you look at over the years, you're a pretty versatile fisherman, too.
Well, yeah, I made the cut at Wiley last week fishing topwaters. You know, I'm a fisherman. I can fish just about everything. Of course, I have strengths, and I have weaknesses like drop shotting. I'm no good at drop shotting. I don't do it. And throwing a shaky head worm, I don't do that either. I might do it if that's the only thing they'll bite in the lake. That's the last resort. I mean, that's just not, I don't like to fish. I like to more of a power fisherman. I like to throw bigger baits. I like to fish for larger fish. And when you can make it work, it works. And it's all year long. And, you know, that's what you got to do to put yourself in a position to win. And at the same time, it can cost you some pretty bad falls as well. But that's really the kind of mindset I've had the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, you look back at it, and I want to mention the buzzbait as well, but you caught a fish on Lake Fork products, you caught them on Kicker Fish, and what was the buzzbait you were using?
It was a Boogeyman buzzbait.
That's a good bait, you know, you start thinking about that, then you followed it up with a Senko when you missed those, so it was a pretty efficient process that you went through.
Yeah, actually, the first day I was about 10 for 20 on buzzbait strikes, only caught one following up with a Senko. Second day I was 3 for 11 on buzzbait strike, and only was able to connect with two that I missed with the buzzbait. And the third day, I was 2 for 5, and the final day, I was 2 for 2, and both of which were on backing up. Neither one of them got the buzzbait.
That's what it's all about. Now, I want to talk to you about a couple things that aren't tournament-related. Number one, you got this long blonde hair now, and I notice a goatee. You got to tell me about that a little bit.
Well, I did a photo shoot with Pure Fishing, the new Abu Garcia reel, the Revo STX series. It's an awesome new low-profile reel that we have out. And we did a photo shoot with it in Portland, Oregon a week ago, right after Lake Wiley. Wanted it to be kind of like you're out there fishing, kind of, you know, and been fishing for a while, and maybe have some, you know, hadn't shaved in 3 or 4, 5, 6 days. So I didn't shave for 5 or 6 days. And got home, I still hadn't shaved. And I said, hey, what the heck, I'll just cut it down to a goatee. I've had a goatee before. I don't really care for it. It kind of itches on my face. Well, I had it. And people started saying stuff about it. Hey, man, you know, some people said, hey, looks cool. Some people said, man, you need to cut that off. And so I didn't care either way. I just had it just to have it. And after the second day, I told everybody I was going to cut it off. And everybody screamed foul. I said, you can't do that, man. You're doing good. Don't change a thing. So I said, okay, fine. I'll keep it. So I got it right now.
Well, there's no doubt about it that I don't think that has much to do with it. I think that there's no question that you're a great angler. And, you know, you look back at your career, a lot of people never win an event, and you've won a bunch of them, and you just got to keep going out there and grinding after them, don't you?
Yeah, you got to keep grinding, and you got to fish to win and have the mindset to win to you know, be successful and have the shots at winning tournaments. And to do that, you know, maybe some guys like Kim Van Dam do it every time and always catch them, but you can't be afraid to have some bad finishes. I've had mine, and you know, that's a hard line to walk, but you know, my process now, my point of my career, I always think what I think is going to win a tournament, what patterns and what kind of thing is going to be the deal, and I go with that pretty strong, kind of hard-headed in some ways. And if I'm right, it works out really well. If I'm wrong, I may do mediocre, I may do terrible. That's fine. You just move on to the next one, and that's one of the keys to my being able to win 5 tournaments in the last 6 years.
Well, Kelly, thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.